This is the worst allergy season ever. Ever hear that before? Still, based on the number of sneezes around the KCUR newsroom of late, this would appear to be a rough one, and yes, I'm feeling it too. With us today to talk about this allergy season to end all allergy seasons is Dr. Jay Portnoy. He's the Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology Division Director at Children's Mercy Hospital. And Jay, nice to have you back again. Welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here, Steve.
So is this the worst allergy season ever? Because where does it rank?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
It is the worst season.
You hear that every year, but you're saying this is the worst.
Well, you know, it is the worst. And it's been getting worse every year. We've been monitoring it for over 15 years, and steadily as the years go by, the seasons get worse and worse.
Say it's not true. So what's going on that's causing it to be the worst?
Well, that's a really good question. We've been talking to our colleagues around the country. We've just had a meeting of the American Academy of Allergy where we compared notes, and everybody is seeing an explosion of pollen and mold, and it's just getting worse and worse. We believe that a lot of it is related to increasing levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere related to climate change.
And how would that begin to impact pollen counts?
Well, if you think about it, carbon dioxide is actually food for plants. You know, we eat carbohydrates and exhale oxygen. Plants inhale carbon dioxide and water and use sunlight to generate energy. And so this is food for plants, and as a result, they tend to produce more pollen. And interestingly, the pollen is more potent.
Huh. That's scary.
It's a double whammy.
It's more potent. Why?
Because the plants are just healthier and growing more abundantly in CO2 levels.
So we're working against ourselves as a society then when it comes to allergy then, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And in fact, they've done studies in greenhouses where they've grown plants that cause allergies in different levels of CO2 and have been able to demonstrate this effect.
Wow. Man, okay. Well, you brought a very handy-dandy set of charts here. What do you have here for me?
Well, I have today's pollen and mold count. Children's Mercy Hospital puts this out every morning, and anybody who's listening can go to our website at childrensmercy.org/pollen and see the pollen and mold count.
Begin your day on a bad foot, don't go there. Yeah.
Well, if you want to know what your day is likely to be like.
Yeah.
And so what you can see here is that the pollen count right now is 120, but that's a low count because of the rainfall that we've had the last couple of days. About a week and a half ago, it rose to as high as 4,000. Now, let me put that into perspective.
Whoa.
15 years ago, the highest counts that we might see during the year might be 800. At most 1,000, we never saw anything above 1,000. Now we see counts 4,000, 8,000. We've seen over 10,000 pollen counts. And that is so much that even if you have the least amount of allergy, you're likely to be absolutely miserable. And it seems to cause eye symptoms as well as nose symptoms. So people are really suffering.
I'm looking at a chart on the sheet you gave me here for pollen, and it sort of just goes along at a very low level. And then around the end of February, early March, it spikes to that 4,000 number. Is that just when the plants were beginning to bloom? Is that what we're looking at there, Doctor?
Yeah, the plants, we're experiencing the warm weather that we've had. That's another effect of climate change. They've been healthy because of the CO2 levels. Mm-hmm. It's been a mild winter, and they just exploded.
Then I'm looking at the mold count underneath it there, and it goes along at a fairly low level, and then just in recent days, it spiked. Is that because of the rain we just had?
Because of the rain, yeah. It was pretty dry up until then, and then we had a lot of moisture. The type of molds are ascospores, which are moisture-loving spores. The type of pollen, by the way, is juniper, and right now juniper are those evergreen plants that people plant around their houses. They're kind of ornamental. Mm-hmm. They're evergreens, and sometimes the amount of pollen that they produce is so great you'll get that yellow coating on your car.
Ah, that's right. Well, if our listeners want to chime in here and call in with a question for Dr. Jay Portnoy of Children's Mercy Hospital, this is a great time to do it. You have questions about what you're dealing with, how to treat it, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Does it go without saying, Doctor, that spring tends to be the toughest time for allergy sufferers?
Well, in the Kansas City area, it used to be the fall with ragweed season.
Yeah.
But the last 5 to 10 years, the spring has actually overtaken it. The tree seasons have been intense. They're getting worse each year, as I said. And it's not just one season. It's a whole bunch of little mini seasons. As each species of tree pollinates, depending on what you're allergic to, your symptoms might go up and down, like a whole bunch of little seasons.
Oh, that's interesting. And then fall would be the second worst time?
Well, actually, grass pollen is huge too, but you're right. Fall with ragweed from August through September into early October. And then starting in April and May, we're going to get grass pollen. Yeah. And in some years, the grass pollen season can actually be one of the most intense ones because it's a single giant season that lasts for 6 to 8 weeks.
Huh. So what exactly are allergies, doctor, and why did God make them? Why do we have these things?
Well, they didn't make them just, he didn't make them just to give job security to allergists. pollens are
contrary
actually—
contrary to popular belief. Yeah.
Pollens are the ways that plants fertilize each other. They send pollen from one plant to another, and that's how they make seeds. And you know the whole story there.
Yeah.
Basically, we developed an immune system to help fight off parasites, so worms and parasitic diseases that occurred in the third world that many third world countries still experience a lot of.
Yeah.
But as we became more hygienic in the developed countries, we're not exposed to so many parasites. So that immune system that was developed to help us protect us from those types of things didn't have anything to do. And so we start to fight against things that normally wouldn't cause a problem, like pollens and molds. And so allergy is sort of an aberrant immune response to things that shouldn't cause a problem, but now do.
What percentage of Americans suffer from some kind of allergy?
About 1 in 5 or 20% of the population experiences allergies.
Yeah.
Most people with allergies have nasal allergies with symptoms like sneezing, itchy nose, runny nose, stuffy nose, itchy, watery eyes, things like that.
Yeah.
And then about 12% of people also have asthma with lung symptoms like coughing, wheezing, difficulty breathing. And all of those things can be triggered by allergies.
I was going to say, why does one person get asthma and another allergy sufferer does not?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Part of it has to do with what you're allergic to. Exposure to pollen seems to trigger mostly nasal allergies and eye allergies, whereas mold allergies, like right now we're seeing ascospores, that tends to be more of an asthma trigger. Also, asthma seems to be triggered more by respiratory infections. So we just got through with the really bad flu season. And indoor allergens can also trigger asthma, such as cats, dogs, dust mites, cockroaches, rodents, all of those things.
I imagine right now getting an appointment to come see Dr. Jay Portnoy at Children's Mercy is a difficult thing to do.
Sadly, it is.
You booked up.
Yeah, but we're trying really hard to get as many people seen as possible.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to some calls here. Rebecca from Lawrence. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning. My questions are, is there a better time of the year to get tested for allergies? Is being tested for allergy going to help you in the long run? I suffer all the time. I don't know what I suffer from. How do you find out what you suffer from? How do you deal with it?
That's great questions, Rebecca. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah, so allergy testing, there's actually 4 reasons why you might want to get allergy testing. The first one is to make a diagnosis. The second one is to know what you're allergic to so you can avoid exposure. So if you want to do environmental control, you need to know what to avoid. Don't get rid of your cat unless you're allergic to the cat. The third reason is to help you predict what season you're likely to have allergy symptoms because we know what things are in the air at different times of the year. And the fourth reason to get tested is that if the medications aren't controlling your symptoms, then allergy shots is an effective alternative. And that's something we'll probably talk about in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of doing the testing, I think it's a really good idea to do allergy testing if you have a lot of symptoms and they aren't easily controlled with simple over-the-counter medicines. If you take an antihistamine that's over-the-counter and your symptoms are well controlled, that's fine. But if it takes more than that, if you need nasal sprays, if you're just not well controlled, it's a good idea to see an allergist and get tested.
Is it true, doctor, that the older you get, the fewer allergy symptoms you suffer from?
Well, you can have allergy at any age, but usually they start between the ages of 2 and 6. So by age 6, most people who are going to develop allergies have started to do that. Peaks in mid-adolescence, about 12 to 18 years of age. And then in your 20s and 30s, you have lots of allergies. But then when you get into your 50s and 60s, allergies usually start to decline.
That's good news. That's good news for a guy like
me. Well,
There's one advantage of getting a little bit older, right?
I guess.
Let's go to Charles here from Lawrence. Charles, you're on Up to Date with Dr. Jay Portnoy. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks.
I'm 63, and my allergies haven't gone away, so I guess I'm one of the unlucky ones.
Sorry about that.
I've taken shots in two times in my life. The first time maybe 20 years ago, and I recently started taking shots again. The experience is very different. I take three shots rather than one, and the content is greater. I'm just wondering, has the science around allergy shots changed over the last 15 or 20 years?
That's a great question, Charles.
Yeah, the technology for allergy shots has improved a great deal since then. The extracts that we use to test and treat with allergy shots has become more standardized, so we know what is in them. They're more purified. We also know what dose to give to patients so that we're not underdosing or overdosing. We're giving just the right amount. In addition, there are some new forms of allergy shots that have been given. It's actually these sublingual tablets that are dissolvable. It's available for grass pollen and ragweed pollen. You basically put the tablet under your tongue once a day for the 4 months leading up to the allergy season, and that can be just as effective as the allergy shots.
That's interesting.
Right.
Will shots cure someone of allergies?
They can. Usually within a year, allergy symptoms improve and the need for medication decreases too. The reason that we continue giving shots after that is that if you stop them right away, then the symptoms are likely to come back. But if you receive allergy shots for between 3 and 5 years, then there's a good chance that you'll develop a long-term remission of your symptoms.
So you're saying once you start shots, then you've got to stay with them for a long time.
You really have to stay with the programs. So shots, I always tell my patients when they're about to start shots, I give them all the information and make sure they realize what's involved, because it's not like you get one shot and you're done. It's a long-term commitment. But if you're willing to go through all of this stuff, then instead of having allergies through your 20s, 30s, and 40s, you can actually limit it to 3 to 5 years and be done with it.
So once you start then, and like my son, who's going to school up in Chicago, he's taking them a couple times a week. So he'll be doing this, what will be, for like 5 years?
Between 3 and 5 years.
Yep. Yeah. And how do you determine when the time has come that he'll be able to stop?
If it took a couple of years to really get a decrease in symptoms, then I would probably continue it for the full 5 years. If you get almost immediate relief and you're doing great after the first year, 3 years might be sufficient.
Okay. So again, a long-term commitment here if you're going with shots.
Absolutely.
Okay. Back to some calls here. And Tamara from Kansas City, Missouri. Tamara, good morning.
Hi. I got a question. My mom didn't come down with allergies because she was in her 60s. The allergist said that if you stay in Missouri long enough, you'll succumb to the inundation of pollen because it's year-round. Because I used to get sinus headaches in February when it used to be cold and windy. And I had an office mate that said, oh, yeah, there are pollen, there are trees as far as to put out pollen even in that time of season. So I want to know the comments about that.
Yeah. How about that, doctor?
Yeah. Well, you know, tree pollen will be in the air before you realize it. Think about it. If you're a tree and you want your pollen to go from you to another tree, you have to do it before the leaves come out. So the tree pollen is present before leaves come out. Once they're out, then the pollen starts to decrease.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts earlier than you think.
How about the notion of her mother not getting allergies until her 50s? What does that portend for Tamara?
It's hard to say. It sort of depends on exposure, too. So if your exposure increases at a certain time when you've gotten older, that might be the time when you develop the allergies.
Yeah. Tamara, thank you for the call. I'm just wondering, you know, you must see people who are just in really dire straits occasionally. How badly do some people suffer from all this?
Some people can be absolutely miserable. I saw an adolescent male last week who came in and his eyes were bright red. His nose was totally clogged up. He was absolutely miserable. He wanted some relief. We had to give him a lot of medications, but hopefully he's feeling better.
Mm-hmm. Our assistant producer, Lisa Rodriguez, right now is suffering right behind you with Kleenex and everything else in hand as we have our conversation here. Miss Crane tweeted this: I notice my eczema increases when others are sneezy. Thoughts?
That certainly could happen. And in fact, we know that allergy shots can be an effective treatment for eczema as well as for hay fever and asthma.
Okay. We're talking allergies this morning here on Up to Date. If you want to join our conversation, maybe you're suffering and want to know how to deal with it, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Gina in Kansas City, Missouri tweets us this: has there been any research from Children's Mercy regarding homeopathic solutions like apple cider vinegar?
We haven't really done that. We've certainly looked at it. We've studied it, but we haven't done any research ourselves. In general, we tend to subscribe to the more scientifically proven ways of treating allergies. We like to see randomized, double-blind, controlled studies. We like to make sure that when we offer a treatment to our patients, that it's the best scientifically proven treatment that we can offer.
Well, let's walk through the steps here. So if someone's suffering from allergies, maybe step one would be to try an over-the-counter medicine. Is that what you're suggesting here, Jay?
Yeah. There are a number of good over-the-counter antihistamines. I recommend the non-sedating ones because who wants to be sleepy all the time?
Yes.
There's also a number of nasal sprays that are available now that didn't used to be, nasal steroids. Those are things that you could also try.
So you try, start off with a pill, and if that doesn't quite get there, maybe try the nasal spray as well.
Yeah.
And if you're still struggling, maybe it's time to come in and get a test.
If you're still struggling, then I would suggest that you consult with an allergy specialist because we can prescribe, more effective medications than are available over the counter.
Yeah.
We can also test you, help you understand, how to use your medicines more effectively. A lot of people aren't familiar with that. And then you might be a candidate for allergy shots.
How about nasal rinse, nasal, that kind of thing? How effective is that?
That can be very effective. You mean like the neti pot?
Neti pot. Yeah, right. Spray bottles, yeah.
I think those are particularly good for the common cold because it just clears your nose out. But nasal rinses can also remove pollens and molds and things that get into your nose and help clear the mucus. One thing about nasal rinses that most people don't realize, if you add two of the little saline packages instead of one, it acts as a decongestant. It'll actually open your nose up.
Really?
Yeah, you don't want to do that all the time. Using one package is the preferred way, but if your nose is really stopped up and you use two of them, it'll work as a decongestant.
I did not know that. That's useful information to have. That's great. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. We're talking allergies here. Let's go to Martin from downtown Kansas City. Martin, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I have a... I've never suffered from allergies, and
good for you.
My question is, I grew up hauling hay, being outside a lot as a little kid. Even today, I drive a Jeep Wrangler with the top down as often as possible, or out of the woods as often as possible. Does being outside more often than not, does that help allergies?
Ah,
well,
help you not have them.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. If you're genetically predisposed to becoming allergic, you probably would have developed allergies even though you were doing that. If the genetics aren't too strong in favor of developing allergies, then that kind of exposure can, in fact, desensitize you to it so that it makes you more tolerant. We see that particularly in the context of pet allergies, like cat and dog allergies. Somebody will grow up with a cat in the house. We call it the Thanksgiving syndrome. You go away to college where you're not exposed to your pet cat that you grew up with.
Yeah.
When you come back to house for Thanksgiving from college, then suddenly you have terrible allergy symptoms from the cat because you lost your desensitization.
It can happen that quickly?
It can, yes.
Oh, that's amazing. Martin, I hope that helped. Thanks very much. Let's go to Justin from Blue Springs. Justin, you're on Up to Date with Dr. Jay Portnoy. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My question was regarding Dr. Portnoy's comment as he did the discussion about why, Steve, when you asked why are, allergies really an issue. And Dr. Portnoy, I think you mentioned that, in the third world country, when you were exposed to so many worms and diseases that we are no longer exposed to so much in the frequency in the first world country, that our immune system really had, I think you said, like nothing else to do. So it attacked those pollens and then that's the reaction. Does that mean in the third world country that those allergies, are those highly reduced then? Do they not have significant amounts of allergens, like 20% of the population, like you discussed?
That's a great question. And the answer is yes, that's true. People in the third world tend to have a lot fewer allergies. Also, asthma prevalence is much lower, too. Even though, you'd think, gosh, they're in low low-income environments. There's a lot more debris and dust and molds and stuff. They're outside. The prevalence of asthma and allergies is much lower in the third world country.
And the theory would be what?
Well, it's something called the hygiene hypothesis. If you grow up with all of those things, then your immune system is pressured to mature. Yeah, it's responding in the proper way. You're fighting the parasites as your immune system will evolve to do so. Whereas here in the first world, where we live in a very hygienic environment, our immune systems don't have that pressure, and so they tend to go awry and fight against pollens and molds.
Okay. I hope that helps, great. Justin.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you. Let's go to Julie from Freeman, Missouri. Julie, you're on Up to Date.
Hi. My question is, my son, when he was 5 or 6, like just starting kindergarten, did allergy shots for like 5 years. And he'll be 20 in May, and he still suffers from extreme itchy eyes in the spring. So I don't know if he should send him out for a year, but he's got really good insurance, and maybe he should consider doing shots again.
Yeah, that certainly is a possibility. It's possible that maybe he's developed allergies that are different or new allergies that he didn't have before that he wasn't treated for. So that's something that you might want to talk with an allergy specialist and see whether that's an option.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Julie, thank you.
Take care.
We also had an email here from Beth who said she credits taking bee pollen for not having had any suffering. Tell us about bee pollen. Could that be, that makes sense to you, Jay?
It's a common homeopathic treatment that people like to use. The idea is it's kind of like the oral or sublingual immunotherapy that I talked about with grass and ragweed pollen that's now available. Bee pollen would have pollens from the local area. The only thing that makes me a little bit skeptical is that bees tend to go and collect pollens from flowers. And if you think about it, flowers don't put a lot of pollen into the air. That's because they use bees to transport pollen from one plant to another. It sticks to their surface and it gets into their honey. Plants that are allergenic are called anemophilous or wind-pollinated plants. They put tremendous amounts of pollen into the air, and they don't rely on insects like bees to transport pollen from one place to another. That's why people are allergic to weeds but not to flowers. We call them weeds because they don't have flowers on them.
Hillary S. tweets us this at KCUR Up to Date, and our phone number, by the way, is 816-235-2888. Hillary writes this, I got tired of taking pills every day for allergies last fall and switched to wearing a face mask. Successful, but why?
Well, if you're wearing a well-fitted face mask, the surgical ones that you see people walking around really isn't going to keep pollen and mold out from your nose and your lungs. But if you wear
because
they're very loose. They don't really block things from getting around. They just go around the mask. Masks aren't very efficient. There is a mask called an N95 mask, which is a high efficiency filtration mask, and something like that can in fact be very effective. There are also these little nose pieces. They actually fit inside your nostril and have little filters on them. They don't really block your breathing too much. They're not so uncomfortable, and some of those may also be effective. That's something to look for.
And those are called what again?
Well, I'm not sure what the brand name is, but they're little nasal filters that fit up inside of your nostril. They're like little nose clips, and they filter the pollen out. We use them to actually collect pollen so we can measure how much is in somebody's breathing space.
We had one other email here, doctor, that goes like this. After I stopped eating gluten, my eczema went away and my allergies got better. Have you heard of that?
That's great.
I'm
glad
gluten.
That they did.
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens if you're sensitive to gluten, but a lot of people, gluten's kind of become the fad now. Everybody wants to avoid gluten. Some people are sensitive to gluten. A lot of people who think they are aren't. But if you're getting a response from avoiding gluten, then I think that's great.
Katie from Northeast Kansas City. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Hi. I just have a question. I seem to be allergic to dust. Is that common, and what can be done about that?
Dust. Ouch.
Yeah. Well, there's two kinds of DAS. There's outdoor DAS, which would be inorganic material, and that's more of an irritant. Indoor dust, on the other hand, is a complicated mixture of lots of different things. If you have pets, then the dog and cat dander will be in the dust. But the most abundant component of dust is dust mites. These are little teeny insects. They're just small enough that it's almost possible to see them. They crawl around in your dust. They release little fecal pellets, so it's the poop of the dust mites. And those things get into the air and can cause serious nasal allergies as well as asthma.
Poop. We're talking about poop in the air. You got to be kidding me.
It's microscopic poop.
Now you're stopping me cold here.
Sorry about that.
What a way to end a conversation with Dr. Jay Portnoy. He's with the Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology Division at Children's Mercy Hospital. Thanks so much for the good advice, Doctor. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to be here.
You bet. Thanks again.